Thanks, Chris. Nick Riewoldt here from Fox Footy. Hello, Nick.
Hello, mate.
Now, we asked you to sit down before you walk in and watch the grand final video, which AFL.com has posted, which interweaves the coaches' insights from the box, from the huddles, from the rooms. How's it left you feeling?
I try to avoid stuff like that because it generally takes me back to personal experiences of playing in grand finals, and obviously 2009 and 10. And you saw me when I walked in. I was a little bit rattled. Mm. I was a little bit rattled. It reaffirmed to me, because I immediately am drawn to the Collingwood side of that story last year, having gone so close in my career twice in 9 and 10 and not getting across the line in games like last year that could have gone either way at the death, particularly the draw, the one before. You know, we lost by a goal, and really what stands out to me is the emotional risk that you take as a playing group and as a coaching group to be great. And you talk about all the time, let's do everything right, and we'll get the result. But there are no guarantees, because at the other end of the ground, there's a side saying exactly the same thing, believing exactly the same thing, and there can only be one winner. So just taking that emotional risk to be great, which both teams did, both playing groups and coaches did, and there are no guarantees for either team, and only one team walks away. And then the latter part of the game, the complete lack of control that the coaches have, you know, they're almost pleading. We need an easy one, someone said.
Yeah.
There's no such thing in a grand final. Like, just where's our next one coming from? The desperation. It's an incredible 15-minute package. I really encourage everyone to get on and have a look, no matter which side of the game you were on.
Adam Simpson said, big play this, and then they get the goal. Yep. I think it's late in the third quarter.
Just looking at the first two goals that West Coast kicked as well, the Rioli goal, how badly did they need that? And that was lucky. That was lucky. And Kennedy's mark, it was slowed down a little bit, but it didn't really look that convincing in terms of whether the mark should have been paid. So all of a sudden the game sort of flipped on its head, and all these little moments. Nathan Buckley, before the game, talking to someone from the cheer squad,
yes,
like they were a player.
Yeah, yeah.
Move on. Next thing. He could have been speaking to Travis Varko, yep, 5 minutes into the game. But it was amazing. It really is a great package and great access from the coaches.
Can you remember any specific moments, pre-game, three-quarter time, words? Does anything sort of resonate? Does any of it live with you?
I remember half the thing that stands out the most is half time of 2010, where we were well down, four or five goals down, and walking into the rooms, and it was a bit of a downtrod sort of atmosphere, and the players, we felt like we'd lost a bit of, but how quickly that turned on the back of just the voices started to lift, and in the space of 5 minutes, we felt like we could win the game. That probably stands out the most. And then we came out in the third quarter and really dominated, and the game was alive again. 2009 is a bit of a blur, to be honest. I remember at three-quarter time, we were, I think, a goal up at three-quarter time. But just how calm the three-quarter time address was, how calm the playing group was. We'd had our chances that day and hadn't executed. But, yeah, it's little moments. I think a lot of the time you're able to really crystallise those memories in your head when you go back and watch a game. And I haven't sat down and watched those games in their entirety, and I'm not sure I ever will.
Yep.
But I think that's where you're really able to reaffirm the sort of the timeline and what happened when. And I haven't gone down that path yet, mate. And watching that 15-minute clip of a team that really I don't really care about as it reaffirmed to me that I probably never will. But the audio of Bucks with his kids at the end of the...
That's heartbreaking.
Oh, my gosh. Just because they're all in as well. The family, they ride the journey, the emotional roller coaster, and they go along, and they just would have wanted it so bad for their dad. And, you know, the emotion spills over. And, again, the composure. You know, he's not a football coach in that moment.
Yep.
He's a parent. It was brilliant stuff.
So it is up on AFL.com. It's a 15-minute film. I love that in the peak frenzy of it all, both Adam Simpson and Nathan Buckley talking to their runner say, please. That just appeals to me. That might just be me. 1-300-736-736. If you've seen it already, if you've heard the clips that we've played, has it prompted an emotional reaction in you? There's a heap of messages which I'll take you through. Nick Riewoldt's here. 1-300-736-736. We'll talk about it more after the break. This is Waitley for Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy. And always ahead, the new BMW 3 Series has arrived at Doncaster BMW, the Metro Dealer of the Year.
I think the prime example, and one that the AFL reinforced with the prohibited contact interpretation, is that they want to stamp out the repeated contact off the ball. So an accumulation of moderately forceful strikes with an elbow or a forearm or even an open hand is going to result in a warning for an umpire. And a free kick. And so the risk is that when we see those isolated incidents, we don't see the five or six strikes beforehand, we just see the last one where the umpire says enough's enough. We look at it and say, well, that shouldn't be a free kick. And you'd be right, but that's not what the free kick was paid for. It was paid for the accumulation of strikes. So I think we're all a little bit clear on that now, or at least we should be.
So that's Chris Scott with me this morning. Nick Riewoldt is in the studio. The accumulation clause in building up to a free kick. Did that surprise you?
It surprised me the fact that we're not really aware of it or haven't been aware of it, and also just how difficult that would now be to police for the umpires. So what is the tipping point in terms of accumulation? Is it three open-handers? Is it four? Is it five? So where does that start and where does that finish? And I know there would be a verbal, you know, Scotty said there would be a verbal warning from the umpires, but where does the consistency lie in the warning being offered after how many open handers? Is it open to interpretation? That is a difficult one. And what I would really love to know is, out of the game from the weekend with James Sicily, was that free kick being paid for the accumulation? Or was the free kick paid for the last one where the umpire blew the whistle? So, because I think we need some guidance, and I think we need some transparency from the AFL on that one in particular, so that we can understand the decision and the players can understand the expectation moving forward.
So the free kick I've shown during the week, which is Lysette on Phillips, which I think is the standard you can't live to. If that is the result of an accumulation of Lysette bumping into Phillips and a constant discourse from the umpire, then that, it casts it in a completely different light. As the singular moment can't possibly result in a free kick if you want to set a standard that you can live to. But if the context is different to it, it's hard to acknowledge from the outside.
Yeah, and I think we need to know whether it was for that isolated incident or whether it was for the accumulation. And can the accumulation be separate bumps or hits 5 minutes apart? Do they have to be one after the other? Do they have to be directly after the warning, or can it be the, you know, 5 minute gap and then they pay it if they do it again? So I think we need to hear from the AFL, after hearing from Chris Scott, who's put it on the agenda, just a little bit of clarity around that.
So the clarity has gone to the clubs, to the coaches to share with their players. Is probably the clarity for all of us watching and analysing.
Well, the clubs and the players aren't calling in, are they? We're up in arms, you know. On Monday, it was the Hawthorn supporters because they felt like, you know, they'd been robbed and it wasn't a free kick. And in isolation, it probably wasn't. But if it's based on the accumulation, well, then I think we can all be a little bit clearer about the situation.
It's a really interesting aspect to it. Nick Riewoldt is in the studio. 1-300-736-736. If you'd like to join our conversation, how do you see tonight? It's Adelaide beaten soundly at home by Hawthorn. They strike back. It's hard to say exactly where that win sits, Sydney and Sydney, at the moment. It's a good litmus test for them. There's a lot of analysis running favourably for Geelong through 2 weeks, what looked like two good wins. Well, they go to Adelaide to see how it franks.
Yeah, well, Geelong coming into the start of the season, they were facing a potentially disastrous start to the year with the teams that they were coming up against. The expectation around Geelong being pretty much universally, well, they're probably fifth to eighth. Where do they sit within that? Are they going to improve off last year, and now they've got an opportunity to go 3-0. And I think based on what we've seen so far in terms of their form, the way they've been able to dismantle two really good sides, they could just go over there and win. Adelaide were poor in round one. They didn't adjust to the contested style of game against the Hawks that it became. And if they couldn't get their game going on their terms, where they come at the football, they link up with hands through the middle of the ground and get it out the back, if that wasn't working, there was no plan B. Hawthorn took that away from them. So I think Geelong go there and win. I do have my concerns about the Adelaide forward line. If things aren't working, where is the player within that group that's going to crash a pack, that's going to bring the ball to ground, bring the ground level players in if it becomes just a contested style of game? Now, Melbourne last week, they didn't lower the eyes. They didn't hit the available players that were coming at the footy. And as a result, Geelong were able to smash them on the ground in terms of winning the ball back in their defensive 50. Stewart, Taylor, these experienced players who were able to drop off. Adelaide will hit those. So Geelong need to, I think, make that slight adjustment to take away Adelaide's strength. And if they're able to do that, they'll win the game.
David's with us in Boronia. Hello to you, David.
Yeah, good morning, Jared. Good morning, Nick. I watched the AFL video, the grand final video. I was very moved by what Nathan Buckley said, not only to the cheer squad, but also to his kids at the end, and even the speech that he gave it to his players in the room. Nick, from a playing point of view, how would you feel as a player being all fired up, had the speech prior to running out on the ground, and then as you approached the ground, you saw the banner in tatters? Would that have an effect at all or not?
Oh, I mean, potentially. Some guys are incredibly superstitious. So for the players that want to run through the banner last and grab a little piece on the way through, or the guys that want to kick a football through it, some guys are pretty superstitious and they work the banner into part of their pre-game routine. So, yeah, absolutely. That could, in a very small space of time, have an impact on a player. But what did you think of Nathan Buckley, his composure and interaction with the cheer squad,
David?
Well, I thought it was really quite extraordinary. I mean, he would be focusing on the game, focusing on the team, the plan, everything else, and then he still took the time to go over to the cheer squad and comfort them and say, "Look, this is what's happened. We'll deal with it." Then we go on to the next step. I just thought that was incredible. If a lot of coaches would have thought of that, I'm not sure. But it was quite incredible.
It was all, at the time, my memory is the Collingwood players all got out there and laughed, and it was almost, if there was tension, it felt like it might have been a circuit breaker to the tension.
Yeah.
And then our view of Buckley was that consolation. But as you say, he's talking like a coach to the cheer squad member that he's hugging. He's going, on to the next thing, get into the stands and cheer, on to the next thing. It's great.
It was incredible. He showed a lot of compassion. But still, the coaching message, he just come out of the room just trying to gear the players up for a grand final. It was amazing.
On message. Daniel's in Windsor. Hello to you, Daniel.
Good morning, boys. How are you going?
Very well.
That's good. I was watching 360 last night, and you're talking about some team goal celebrations and what it means to the team. There was a good example on the weekend, St Kilda and Essendon. It was just after Josh Rose took a great mark, and he came onto the bench and got a rub down. And as St Kilda kicked the goal, I think it might have been either Luke Dunstan's goal from 50 or one after. Bruce was getting a rub down, and he was whacking the ground in such celebration. You could just see the joy. I just wanted to ask Nick about his views on seeing St Kilda this year. It feels like there's a lot more love and a lot more passion around the club and to each other. I just wanted to get his views.
Oh, there seems to be a lot more positivity, Daniel. Absolutely. After what was it? Really, in terms of pre-seasons and what could have gone wrong, Jake Carlisle going down, Jack Stevens spending some time away, Dan Hannabury not being able to get on the track, and then your last pre-season game, you lose really the general of the back line, Dylan Roberton, who's so important, and McCartan up forward. So a lot went wrong. And round one, you just got the sense that was a game that just was going to have – if the team was on a scale, a set of scales, the win or the loss on that game was just going to tip the season in polar opposite directions. The fact that I were able to get over the line, it fueled them with some belief, some confidence, And they got Essendon at a really good time where, you know, it's going into the game, speaking to some of the players, they sense an opportunity. And you can just see they're playing with a lot more spirit. Winning always helps that, Daniel. I think their best is going to be good enough to trouble a lot of teams this year. They're playing a good contested style of footy. They're not getting scored against. So that'll keep them in most games, you would hope.
Nick Riewoldt in the studio. Plenty of calls. We'll take those as we go. We'll work around that 10 o'clock news and cast an eye towards the rest of the round and also towards Ross Lyon and Paul Roos. Nick knows the personalities pretty well. We'll get his take on that as we go.
Melbourne's home of sport is always crystal clear on the SEN app. So download it now. Connect to your car via Bluetooth, then press play. In the draw so far for Gary and Tim's Caller of the Year.
Robert from Moorabbin, he called in about John Longmire, the horse riding a camel over there in the desert.
Dave from Langwarrin, his thoughts on the AFL illicit drug policy. You are in the draw to win a brand new Toyota.
If you're selected as the week's best caller, you could win a brand new Toyota Hilux SR5 worth up to $58,670. Gary and Tim's Caller of the Year for Toyota. Oh, what a feeling, Toyota. And only with Gary and Tim on SEN.
The key to successful marketing is to get on top. In radio, that means being first in the ad break, just like this. In digital marketing, it's all about getting on the first page of Google search in your category. At Supple, our flexible digital marketing strategies will get you there. We're a Google-partnered Melbourne agency that offers Google-friendly sites, Facebook marketing, SEO, and more. How will Supple's award-winning digital marketing grow your business? Google SUPPLE and find out with just one click.
Ferntree Gully Toyota. We create guests for life. From start to finish, Ferntree Gully Toyota is committed to providing you with a memorable experience owning your next car. Whether you're looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle, excellent finance package, or just looking at getting your car serviced. Whatever vehicle stage you're at, our friendly staff are committed to assisting you with all your needs. Come and see us today. Ferntree Gully Toyota. 1101 Burwood Highway, Ferntree Gully. Visit ferntreegullytoyota.com.au.
LMCT 3717.
The footy is back, and at PointsBet, get paid out early on AFL head-to-head bets if your team kicks the opening two goals in the match. That's right, kick the first two goals and you win. It's PointsBet's AFL early payout, and it's available on every match in rounds 1-6. Download the PointsBet app today. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly.
The Western Suburbs, home to the Mighty Doggies, fantastic restaurants, iconic pubs, and now State Transport and Warehousing. Celebrating its 30th year in the game, State Transport and Warehousing is thrilled to announce their expansion into the Western Suburbs. An outstanding reputation built on high-quality expertise and service, their dedicated taxi truck fleet offers flexibility to transport cargo 24/7. State Transport and Warehousing, we don't only move products, we move you towards success. Call 9587 4433 or statetransport.com.au.
Am I going to see you back at the Dingley?
Mate, absolutely. I've been pumped about this weekend for ages. Chris told me the Renos are awesome. Can't wait to get back there.
It's game on. You'll love it.
It's time to come back to the Dingley Hotel. New chef, new bistro, new vibe. The Dingley Hotel is doing great pub food, live music and shows, plus the sports bar is ready for a big footy season ahead.
Bring the whole family and come back to the Dingley.
The Dingley Hotel, 334 Boundary Road. Check out dingleyhotel.com.au.
Hangmytv.com.au. Hangmytv. What we do.
Now you can finally get your TV hung and mounted safely with hangmytv.com.au because that's what we do. Get more space and create a cinema-style experience. Call 1-300-HANGMYTV today. hangmytv.com.au because that's what we do.
hangmytv.com.au. Hangmytv, that's what we do.
NAB AFL AusKick is back and calling all kids aged 5 to 12 to come and play. The program will keep them moving through fun, active, game-based activities that just happens to be footy. They'll build confidence, new skills, make new friends, and it'll be one of the best experiences the whole family will enjoy. No matter your child's skill, ability, or knowledge of Australian football, everyone's welcome to play. And we know you'll love creating new moments each week with AusKick. Register now at play.afl/AusKick.
Go your own way with the Isuzu MUX Tourmate.
packed with accessories including an alloy bull bar, tow bar kit, weather shields and more. Get the MUX Tourmate 4x4 LST Auto from $55,990 drive away. Plus, enjoy 2 years free scheduled servicing, 6 year warranty and 6 years roadside assistance. Terms and conditions apply. Visit your Isuzu Ute dealers in Melbourne.
Powered by a 100% Australian electricity and gas retailer. That's Red Energy. Switch today. The new BMW 3 Series has arrived at Doncaster BMW. This is Waitley on SEN.
Jared Waitley and Nick Revolt with you this Thursday morning. Phil in Bayswater is with us. Hello, Phil.
Morning, gents. The AFL's just got to take a breath here. They've just got to let us enjoy the football for how we want to enjoy it. So we just kind of need to understand the rules so when we go there, we can actually watch and enjoy the game and not think about interpretation. I think that's part of the big issue. And just on a side note, Jared, great interview with Neville Jeddah last night. Let my kid watch it. Absolutely phenomenal. So well done, mate.
He's terrific, Neville. And the way he's grown into the idea of leadership, yep. Not just in his own team, but gathering all the Indigenous players together the night before, yep. Who live in Melbourne.
Yeah, he's taken a real leadership role in that space, and always came across as quite a shy young man when he first came into the system. But he's absolutely grown into a great leader of that football club, and he's rarely beaten Neville Jeddah. He has turned himself into one of the premier small defenders of the competition. It was a pleasure to catch up with him on the set last night.
We have Glenn, Luke, Andrew, Mark immediately after the news to work through and ask you a bit about Ross Lyon, whether you recognised any of what was taking place in Perth in the past couple of days. I do rather love this. Hi, Jared. I just watched the video posted on the AFL website you spoke about. I dislike Collingwood so much that I won't put my name to this text so my mates don't know I texted in to say this. But the way Nathan Buckley consoled his son after the game, it's absolutely heartwarming. And as a new dad, I have so much respect and admiration for him. Others just finished watching the video. It's incredible. As an Eagles fan, I almost cried watching Bucks at the end. It is amazing. Brings it all back. I'm sure my girlfriend's hand still aches because I was holding, crashing onto it hard through the game, especially in the last 10 minutes. I need to lie down now. Go West Coast. Eternal respect to Collingwood. Cheers from Stu. Desi in Cheltenham has sent through, just watched the grand final inside access video. Just incredible. I was there on the day as a neutral supporter, and watching that clip really brings you back into the trenches. Simpson's composure, just outstanding. And Buckley's final words with his son brought tears to my eyes listening. This is football. I'm a mad Collingwood supporter, and that was my first grand final. Cried the whole last quarter. Tears of joy, fear, and ultimately heartbreak. Haven't been able to bring myself to watch the game. Hearing those clips brought tears to my eyes. Won't be able to watch it, but a great inside. Brendan in Hobart. Oh, my God, grand final coach's edit is brilliant. A brilliant piece of insight into the emotion, tension, and delight and despair of a grand final. It's draining to watch, so it is hard to imagine the actual feelings of the participants and insight. Rare, yet so good to be able to see. That's from David. So it's there on the AFL website. It's the perfect way to get you going for round 3 and 4 when Collingwood and West Coast meet on Saturday night. Nick Revolt and Jared Waitley in the studio. Glenn is with us in Spotswood. Glenn, welcome aboard.
Yeah, hi, Jared and Nick. How are you?
Excellent. Good, Glenn.
Yeah, look, I'm a lover of the NFL, and I think you two are as well. I think I dislike the AFL where the backmen and the forwards are punching and whatever one another. Why can't we bring in unsportsmanlike behaviour, and you have a lot of criteria that fits that, and then if an umpire sees one of those criteria, he just goes up, blows a whistle, free kick against or whatever, unsportsmanlike behaviour. I think the fans would accept that. What do you think?
Yeah, so. In the NFL, Glenn, if a player is deemed to be taunting the opposition, so a player misses a goal and someone goes up and, you know, rubs their head or does something like that, which drives you absolutely mad as a supporter watching, because the recourse for the player getting taunted, they can't really do anything. Yeah, I think there's something in that, an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty and a free kick paid, and you have a bunch of stuff like in the NFL that they that they can lump into that bucket. Who's your team in the NFL, Glenn?
I'm a 49ers fan, but yeah. So what about yours, Nick?
I'm a Texans fan. I think you'll have a good year this year, mate. I think got the good coach there. You got the franchise quarterback. So exciting times ahead, I think.
Get Jimmy 49ers. G back out there. Good on you, Glenn. Luke's in Preston. Hello, Luke.
How you going, fellas?
Very well.
Look, I just wanted to have a quick chat, actually, about the discrepancies that I've noticed this year in the last quarters. Like, in round one, there was a few matches where just sides were getting absolutely blown away towards the end of the game. Like, Brisbane pumped the Eagles in the last quarter. Sydney really rallied late against the Dogs. You know, then you got teams like Port Adelaide that, you know, hurt Melbourne late in the last quarter. Richmond hurt Carlton. And same with, you know, round two. I was just curious, do you think that's a fitness factor towards maybe their pre-season, or is that more mental?
Combination, I think, Luke. It's there's definitely an edge for the teams that started pre-season earlier and the teams that have come in with really healthy lists. So Melbourne, for the first time in a long time, they've started their pre-season much later than they would typically have done so. And then you throw in the 15 or so players that needed off-season surgery. That absolutely has an impact and takes a little bit of time to find that match fitness within your legs. And then you've got other teams like Richmond that just flex their muscles in round one against Carlton and have been there before and have won close games. So, yeah, I think there's absolutely a combination of both aspects.
Paul Roos was critical of Nathan Fyfe and his defensive running on couch on Monday night. Ross Lyon in Perth, in a couple of different aspects, including on Channel 7 in his weekly spot, was asked to reply.
Fyfe, who I know is an outstanding player, some of his off-ball running is bottom end. It's just absolutely so bottom.
You're big on this, aren't you?
Oh, huge on it.
You think it's an opportunity for opposition clubs to exploit him?
I know they do. I've spoken to opposition coaches. I know they exploit him on the outside.
But people sitting at home are going, what are you talking about? So this is when they don't have the footy.
When they don't have the
football. You're saying he doesn't work hard.
He doesn't work hard defensively. Now, the challenge is he's so good in that area, if he controls that area and if he marks it down the line. So it's a game of Russian roulette against him. But if you haven't got a match-up, which no teams really do, there's no another Nate Fyfes. The trick to it is get off him and run.
Nathan is an outstanding player. It's easy to leverage a headline off him. Everyone picks it up and runs with it. All great midfielders try to be exploited by the opposition. And Paul's, you've got to understand Paul's lens. It's, remember the Swans-Eagles Dower contest. So, I mean, it's the strictest one-on-one game plan probably in the last 30 years. So we look through different lenses and we see different things.
I think he was the architect of that plan, wasn't he? And there was a bit more as Ross Lyon drifted away. This is where it got really good.
Specifically, even though Paul's, why am I addressing it? But Paul's clearly a very good friend of mine. Do I talk to Paul about my players? No. People will look for conspiracy where there's just sometimes.
Yeah.
No, hang on. And so I really won't be addressing assertions on any of our players going forward. But because it's Paul, I'll respect the question and answer. I answered it last night. The answer's the same.
What do you make of this? I won't ask a leading question.
Well, I mean, Ross and Paul are good mates. We all know that. The one thing I will say about Nathan Fyfe and the off-ball running and the criticism for Roosie and his off-ball running being bottom end, show me the list of the 20 best midfielders in the AFL, and they'll probably be the 20 worst in terms of defensive mindset, off-ball running, because their role is to get in and win the footy and get territory for their team. That doesn't mean that their coaches wouldn't like them to be better at the off-ball running stuff. As good as they are at what they do, there are lots of little relationships and agendas and messages that get planted within the AFL system, and you know sometimes the relationships are at the forefront of those. I'm not accusing Ross of anything.
Did Ross deny the conspiracy before it had really been put forward?
He preempted the question regarding the conspiracy coming forward and was really keen to squash it before it even got asked.
A bit more of Ross from his presser?
Not really, because they sit in the media landscape, and everyone needs to be heard. And if you want something to be heard in Perth and on the back of the Western Australian, just mention Nat Fyfe's name. I mean, I was in there for running out of petrol. It probably sums up where we're at, huh? Doesn't it? Huh? The Bell Tower Times and then
Perth News pick it up. I ran out of petrol. And then that was an omen and an indicator of my mindset. That's probably where we're at.
That was good. Excellent. That's good. So Rossi ran out of fuel on the way to the game.
or at a certain time. He's not on the job.
His head's not in it. He's already thinking about what he's going to do next. If he was really switched on as a coach, his car would be full of gas before he go. Sorry, I don't want to be accused of being too American. Full of petrol before he goes to the game. Now, one thing that I've always loved about Ross and his players have always loved about him is how he goes into bat for his players publicly. Now, behind closed doors, that might be different. He's always been big on challenge the behaviour of your players, but support the person, and he's gone out and done that publicly for Nat Fyfe again.
Andrew's on the road with us. Hello, Andrew.
Hi, Nick. Hi, Jared. Question, Nick. You were talking about how things haunt teams and all that, and luck and all that. In the 2010 replay, where you got ran down by Heath Shaw, how did you feel at that time and after it happened?
At the time, I guess, probably just disappointed that I hadn't gone back and kicked the goal. After it happened, a lot of people want to reflect really strongly and I guess rightfully so. Within grand finals, we talk about moments and we talk about Dom Sheed's goal and we talk about Leo Barry's mark. And I guess when you play footy for long enough, and this is the way I sort of think about it, when you play footy for long enough, those moments inevitably are going to happen to you at some stage. You're always going to have moments that you wish you could take back within games. Unfortunately for me, mine just happened to happen in a grand final. But really, it was just a great piece of play from Heath Shaw. The talk about never giving up and playing till the play is over. That's exactly what he did.
Mark's in South Melbourne. Hello, Mark.
G'day, Rui. Mate, I've got to thank you for the time that you were playing football at St Kilda, and thank God that you've got three kids that are going to reach father and son. And what I would like to ask you, Nick, do you see St Kilda being very similar to when you started now, when, like, in the sense Hamill was probably your enforcer, and now that St Kilda have got, like, your Kenson Parker, the enthusiasm reminds me when you started your football. And what do you think St Kilda need next year to get them to the next level?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mark. Good to hear from you, mate. Mate, I think it's a situation where pretty similar to when I first started. So we were down towards the bottom of the ladder, had an opportunity to pick up kids. And fortunately for us, the majority of those early draft picks that we had, whether it was Brendan Goddard or Luke Ball, Nick Del Santo, Lee Montagna, they turned out to be great players for the football club. So that's where St Kilda's improvement is going to come from. You can't bottom out and finish in that part of the ladder and then not capitalise on your picks. So Nick Caulfield, Hunter Clark, Max King, Paddy McCartan, Jack Billings, they all need to become great players for the football club if the football club is going to make that period of, trial and difficulty for all the fans worthwhile. I think we've started to see that from Jack Billings. His last half of the year last year was really good. He started the year brilliantly. He's winning his own footy. There are some good signs.
A couple of messages on the accumulation of moderate contact now resulting in a free kick, which is what Chris Scott told us had been clarified in this week by the AFL. So now we're expecting umpires to keep a running tally for each player's accumulating misdemeanours until the threshold is reached to apply a penalty. Not even remotely feasible. Give me a spell. That's from Dennis in Coolaroo. The opposite side of that is exactly like the World Game. You can be given a yellow card for the accumulation of free kicks over the course of a game. Stop being a thug and you won't be giving away a free kick. Since when is it okay to lay your hands on anyone? Since when? Play the game, keep your hands to yourself, and you won't be giving away free kicks. Professionals don't lash out in what's meant to be a professional game. And absolutely love the idea of unsportsmanlike conduct penalty in AFL. We'll quickly cut out all these cheap and sarcastic tauntings. Where are you for Fox Footy on the weekend?
Tomorrow night, which will be a great game. I'm fascinated to see how both of these teams, Melbourne and Essendon, under huge pressure respond. You can be 0-2 and and have grave concerns. I don't have grave concerns for Melbourne. I think their pre-season has impacted. They still did a lot right in the sense that they won the footy and gave themselves opportunity against Geelong. They just went a bit wide. They went a bit shallow with their entries. So that can be rectified. But the Bombers are an interesting side to watch. We spoke about them last week and about how do they get themselves out of the headspace of playing survival football, because that's what it looks like from the outside. And I've been there as a player. I've been there as a captain. And Dyson Heppel, you know, this is where you earn your money as a skipper, trying to lead a team out of this situation, and it's a challenge.
His stuff on survival mode last night was first class on 360. I'm about to talk to Gian Rooney about the Australian Swimming Championships. Do you want to hang around for a tick?
I'll hang around. I'd love to.
Schoolmates.
We went to school together. We're in the same year at school.
You can say hello as well. Nick Riewoldt, who's here on a Thursday looking ahead to the footy, and Bob Murphy is coming in shortly. The swimming and what lies in store for Australia's top in the pool is next.